lost in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everyone to Spouting Off. It's a brand new week. It's the last day of the month. Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend? I always wonder, should you wish somebody a happy Memorial Day? No, not necessarily. It's rather a somber holiday. A lot of people don't even exactly know the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but if you're not taught it, you don't know. So Veterans Day honors all veterans. Memorial Day honors specifically those who gave their life for their country. More poignant than ever, as I continue to look at the flag outside my window, flying at half-mast for the atrocity that happened in Uvalde last week. And there's so much to talk about there, but sometimes I'm a little hesitant to follow the mass hysteria that goes along with these things, because it's as if everything else falls off the radar. And I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. That's why we have a different constellation of guests. but I am reminded quite a bit about the predictability of the left's demagoguery when it comes to an issue like this. I just got through doing two full hours of radio filling in for a nationally syndicated program, and several of our guests made a sad and horrible observation, and it's true. And that is that there are a good many leftists who are so committed to an agenda of confiscating weapons from law-abiding citizens who, by the way, had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with this tragedy, and yet they always get blamed for it. They are almost, sad to say, horrible to say, they're almost gleeful when there is a story, a tragedy, something that suits their agenda as specifically as this does. And it's terrifying to even think about. But when you look at the consistent cheapening of life by the leftist ideology, it's not as hard to believe as one might imagine. You don't want to admit it. I mean, heck, nobody wants to admit it. But if they are gleeful about this, and then they're going to say, we're going to take away your right to defend yourself, oh, to protect you and your fellow man. Really? How logical is that? Why is it they blame everybody but the people who committed the atrocity? I have only questions this morning. I apologize. This is Spouting Off. I'm spouting, but I'm asking. I am asking. In this first segment, you can chime in 603-816-1590 here on our flagship station for Tuesdays and Thursdays, 1590 AM WSMN. So why is it that law-abiding citizens have to defend themselves from crimes they didn't commit? Why are they being fingered and blamed just to preserve their right to defend themselves in an ever more dangerous world? It's not only law-abiding citizens who have firearms to defend themselves, but they are being blamed for the latest atrocity. Along with them being blamed, the state of Texas is somehow to blame for this latest atrocity. Now, there are some things coming out about law enforcement in Uvalde that are phenomenally disturbing. And I haven't corroborated this, but I did corroborate it with other guests. And as I always tell you, please check these things out for yourself. I don't expect you to just believe me, but it is okay to ask questions, to disagree. There is nothing American about being told there's only one way to think about things. But why is it that the state of Texas, which the left detests, we know that, along with Florida and any state. In fact, you can draw a list of all the things the left hates based on that entity's pushback of their totalitarian, authoritarian tactics. If you say, no, I don't want my kids to be taught racism in school, to be taught that America is a horrible, racist, systemically racist country. I don't want them to be groomed for sexuality when they're six. I don't want my kids to be told they were born in the wrong body and there's no boy and there's no girl. And it's really cool and neat to change genders because we're going to give you hormone blockers and we're going to do sex change operations on 5-year-olds, on 8-year-olds, on 12-year-olds. This is appalling. And if you stand up for that, you, in the eyes of these crazed people, are domestic terrorists. And that's not just crazy, because if you deem someone a domestic terrorist, you can use the full force of the government to restrain them, to arrest them, to give them the third world treatment here. So much to talk about. Are there ever any good guys that want to disarm victims and let criminals go free and unpunished? I ask you. You know, that great Steven Crowder, who there's this wonderful meme of him sitting at a desk and an open thing, whatever it is that he's deciding to talk about. And it's like a publicly available meme, you know. And I would say, are there ever any good guys that want to disarm victims and let criminals go free and unpunished? And if you think that there are, please change my mind. Or I guess it should be said in the affirmative. There is never a good guy that wants to disarm victims. Never. And yet this is what the left has decided is morally superior, morally the high ground. There's another meme that I have on this computer here that I posted. And yes, I do use social media because I'm a talk show host. If I didn't, I probably wouldn't. At no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys. That is a good meme. Sometimes something with very few words makes a point better than an op-ed of 1,000 words. I'll say it again just for emphasis. At no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys. That's huge, isn't it? Let's turn that around a little bit and say that when you are willing to accept, to tolerate disagreement, difference of opinion, dissent, or especially someone of adult age, someone at the past the age of consent, who goes their own way, and you don't want to make a law to force them not to be able to do that, then you can count yourself among the good guys in that respect. And let me make it even a little more clear and drill down a little deeper. You're allowed to disapprove of anyone you want. But when you use force, the force and power of the government, to force people to go your way, to believe what you believe, to think what you think, or to do what you do or live how you live, then you're no longer a good guy. And furthermore, we see again and again and again these days that the people who have crossed the Rubicon into force are among the singularly most unimpressive, incompetent, stupid people in humanity. Okay? It is usually those people who do force people into compliance that, number one, never, ever hold themselves accountable to the laws they're imposing on others. Notice that the mask rule, which the mandatory mask, which is so much more heavily weighted to show what is really going on in this country, that truly explains the jump the shark moment, as I like to call it, more than people could ever maybe understand. Putting masks on people's faces when they know they don't work is a giant strike against individuality. That's what it is. Have you noticed when you take a mask, if you've had the guts to ask somebody, a waitress, somebody who's still wearing a mask, you know, can I just see your face for a minute so I know who I'm looking at? You're always shocked and amazed at how surprising the features of that person's face inform that face. It is so individual. You cannot have Marxism and socialism without attacking and destroying individuality. You just can't do it. That was, in my opinion, the purpose of the masks. And that's why I will never stop talking about it, because there are still people who are gullible enough to buy this nonsense. Now, because I am not one of those people, hey, you want to wear rag on your face everywhere? Fine. But it does telegraph a lot about who you are. Now, when it comes to unelected bureaucrats and Nancy Pelosi and people like that, they only want to telegraph to you that they're following the rules in public. They never do it in private. And we saw this. Deep down, they're putting on a show for you and me that they're complying with the laws that they made. But in private, they don't believe that they should be held to the same standard as peasants like you and I. No, that is reserved for people who need to be controlled, manipulated, and subjugated. To be alive at a time like this, where America's sovereignty, America's principles of individual liberty are this much under attack, is an astonishing thing to me. I will never stop being amazed. Yes, I fret, I worry, I do a lot of things, and I'd love to be at least some small voice to encourage other people to speak up and stand up. And the prices keep getting higher for speaking up and standing up, because those that want to subjugate you want to shut you up. It's no accident. Criminals come in with masks, but once they capture you, they put a mask on your face so you can't talk, either figuratively or literally. That's how it works. So, at no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys. Remember that the next time you get into an argument with one of your buddies, one of your friends, one of your family, saying, well, we have to do what they tell us because they know best. No, they're not suggesting. They're still forcing and punishing dissent. That should tell you everything you need to know. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a wonderful guest tell you about them in just a minute. Thanks for listening on Facebook. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. We have a wonderful, active Facebook page going at Right America Media. I love to see your comments. I wish that you could speak them, but right now we only have, but we do have people who are speaking. If you want me to read your comments, especially in the first segment, make them a little bit short and pithy, and I will be more than happy to read them. I am delighted to welcome our first guest. Hopefully we have him on the line. I've got too many windows open and I can't see anything. This is a guest that I had all kinds of nasty, icky, terrible technical problems. And we didn't get to wrap up with this guest. Terrence Winters has a PhD, and we have Robert Dorr, I think, PhD, authors of Sex, Diet, and Tanning, the curious story of the drug to induce a natural tan, including all you ever wanted to know about tanning. But there's way more to talk about than just that. And here we go. Dr. Terrence Winters, do we have you on the line there?
Not yet, Karen. I'm still trying to reach him.
Okay. You see? There we go. Let me see if I can find my window. I'm telling you, I have two computers open, lots of things going, but I do now have, I have a way to do this if my mouse would cooperate. Here is a comment from Frank. The government doesn't realize that we are the majority over our elected officials. Facts. I hope Frank will comment on this. I hate to be a naysayer. I agree with you wholeheartedly that we are a majority. But the problem is tyrants have always controlled the masses by having the reins of power, sadly, but truly. So how do we handle that? That's what we want to know. We have a really, really long comment right now by Frank also. And I'm going to read it right now because we have the time until we get guests. Former President Barack Hussein Obama Jr. had 2 years to pass his agenda, and former Vice President Joe Biden, who was placed in the presidency, and it's both Dems and Republicans establishments who cater to the Democrat Black Caucasians, are destroying America from within. America, regardless of their race or gender or religion, wake up, America. Yeah, you know, there is a lot of passion out there. There really is. And I notice that a lot of people are fearful that they just cannot, they don't feel like they're in the majority, as Frank mentioned. And you hear this statement, there's a lot more of them, of us. There are a lot more of us than there are of them. And that is true. But remember that our founders of this great country were also a minority. And they, while they didn't strong arm people to go along, they were the leaders and they took this country in the direction of freedom. And not everybody wanted to go. And now we've had an illustrious history of almost, 250 years. People who have the curse of awareness, that's what I call it, the curse of awareness. That means they are cursed to be aware of what's going on. They're not gullible enough to believe the propaganda media that tells you what you're supposed to think about everything, what you're supposed to believe about everything, and then tells you that if you do not agree with us, you will be punished. You don't have to be on top of absolutely every issue to recognize that those people who cannot tolerate dissent are usually telling you a lie, because everything needs to stand up to scrutiny. When they say things like trust the science, well, scientists, the tradition is scrutinize it, ask questions, test your principles, see if what you think or believe is true. The only way you do that is by asking questions. I would love to ask Frank to expound a little, if you can do it, on a little bit of a pithy sort of way. And we are waiting for two guests to join us. But until then, if you'd like, because, you know, this happens around here, I don't know, maybe we have the scarlet letter on our chests. We're supremely unlucky. I don't know why, but the guests sometimes are never really there, which is good, because that means we've got time for you to interact and spout off. So if you want, Frank, if you want to call in, 603-816-1590, you're welcome to call in and wax philosophic, or shall we say, spout off. It's 603-816-1590. I am delighted with this new delivery system that enables us to take more of your comments on Facebook. And the way that you do that, if you don't happen to be doing that right now and you're listening online, if you're listening, because, you know, we do a little bit of marketing around here to let you know that you can listen to the program in a variety of ways. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. and Fridays at 1 p.m. on my website. There's a link there. And I distracted myself with what I was going to say. The way to do that, if you want to get in on that, is just to go to Facebook and look up Right America Media. That's how you do it. Right America Media, Facebook. And that's how you do that. Well, I'm going to just move on here. And because I always come prepared with 9,000 things, I don't know about 9,000. Maybe it's a little less than that. However, I had a thought that I wanted to expand on, and that is, make no mistake. Now, I touched on this, but I didn't get to really scope it out. And that is, make no mistake, the left has, from the very beginning, loved masks. And I submit to you that it is for two reasons. One, to condition people into mass obedience. You saw that. You saw people who were so scared, and they were conditioned by fear, because the fear-mongering was over the top. Now we have fear-mongering. They're trying to do it with monkeypox, and people laughed. And let me just finish this. Do we have our guest? We have our guest. I want to finish this thought, since I've been wandering around here. The left loves masks because they erase individuality. That was the purpose. Condition people to look alike, act alike, behave alike. Nothing American about any of that. We are delighted once again to have with us, we always have little technical issues, but we have our guest here. Dr. Terrence Winters joins us. And I already read your bio, so thank you for joining us, Dr. Winters. Thanks for hanging in there. Yeah, we can.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry we have this problem. Okay.
Turnabout is fair play, doctor. Didn't we lose you because of our technical difficulties? This is live radio, so, you know, it's what happens. Talk to us about how tanning is something that is relevant, and I know it is, but help us, tanning and your information relevant to a political current events talk radio show, because I know it is. Just help us make that connection.
Well, I can give you many, many connections, but firstly, tanning is preventative of skin cancer.
Isn't that the opposite of what we've always been told?
Well, the act of getting tanning through sun can, in fact, cause skin cancer. But when you have a natural tan, like, of course, black people, they essentially don't get skin cancer. The rates of skin cancer in black people are extraordinarily low. So the tan itself actually prevents skin cancer because it prevents the sun getting through the skin to cause all the problems.
Uh-huh.
So you follow me there?
Yes, I do. So you're kind of pre-treating your skin to be tanned, right?
Well, what you need,
yeah.
What you need is something that can make you tan without going through the process of having the sun injure your skin.
I see. And what is it that fascinates you about all this? I mean, I'm always interested in that. Promoting this. Yeah.
I'm fascinated with this from many points of view, but primarily the medical point of view. What we have here is a drug that is able to produce a tan without sunlight. And that's the important thing here.
It's a drug. You take it internally? It's systemic kind of drug?
Yes, it is. It is systemic, but it's it has to be given through an injection. And it is given as a small, slow-release pellet, usually in the forearm. And it's like a little grain of rice. And it slowly releases the drug and causes the tan to occur. And it mimics the exact process of a natural tan. This is not a dye or anything like that. This is, in fact, a natural tan. It's exactly the same process. It simply does not need sunlight to initiate it.
Dr. Winters, this just fascinates me. And it fascinated me when we lost you the last time. So, I appreciate your persistence and ours, too. You know, selling a brand new drug that's an injection in the time of forced COVID injections and endless commercials on television for every kind of drug for every kind of thing, and the pharmaceutical companies are making a freaking fortune. Isn't what you're doing kind of like selling ice in the wintertime?
Well, I don't view it that way, and I think most people don't view it that way either. I'm against forced use of drugs, obviously. This is not what this is all about. I can tell you that in all my career as a venture capitalist, this is the company that I invested in that had the most interest from the general public. Because most people, in fact, I would say almost all people, are aware of tanning, whether they do it naturally, in other words, in black people, or whether it is induced by sunlight. And people are very, very aware of it, and we got a tremendous amount of general interest from the public.
So does that mean, first off, there was so much interest in that. Is that because there is such a high rate of skin cancer and people are afraid? Or did they want to
Yes, that is,
yeah.
That is, yes, you're correct. That is particularly the case in some parts of the world. And especially where you get a lot of white people who come from areas where particularly you get blue-eyed blondes and you get redheads who don't tan, they only burn.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. But also the various other skin types are also very interested in this. And you've got not only deep black people, but you've got all the skin types between the black and the white. And the second, I think, very interesting thing is many people are interested in this cosmetically. And I think that probably outweighs the medical interest.
So that leads perfectly to my next question, Dr. Winters. So if you take an injection into your body, which I'll be way up front, does not appeal to me at all for something that seems, but again, I wouldn't begrudge other people from using it. Does that mean that after you take this drug, your skin turns a lovely bronze tan color?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. And people like that. Obviously, people who are always trying to get a tan do like that. But I don't know, since it's your field, why? Why aren't they just satisfied with their skin tone and leave it at that? We see so much obsession about skin color, black and brown people, people of color. You know what? I love the variety. Let people be who they were and are born to be. And yeah, if you want to prevent skin cancer, great. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, everybody has freedom of choice. And I'll just give you one illustration of how interested many people are, and that is tanning salons. Last time I saw a count, there are 6,500 tanning salons in the United States. And they are using, of course, artificial sunlight, which is, in fact, burning the skin and putting them at risk for skin cancer.
I see.
Now, we do not have approval for this drug as a cosmetic. And we do not have approval for the drug as a prevention of skin cancer. Because we have an FDA, that would take a tremendous amount of work. And it would be very expensive and time-consuming. But where we do have approval for it, or where the company has approval...
Well, we had you on late, so I apologize. We have to leave it at that. Dr. Terrence Winters, we had a full interview with him in two different segments, I guess. You can find him. We'll put up his information here. Thank you, Dr. Terrence Winters, for joining us. We so appreciate it. We're going to be back after a quick break. After this, you're listening.
Well, thank you.
To my pleasure. Thank you, Doctor. Right after this.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. And just a little program note, we do Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. I love that uniformity, don't you? And our Friday show is being distributed by the Salem Media Network. I don't talk about that much, but it's a very valuable thing. So you may hear, if you travel to another place or whatever, you may hear Spouting Off, our Friday show. And we're very pleased about that because our show is growing. And we appreciate your support. We're going to zoom right ahead now and welcome our next guest. You know, this is what I've been talking about a lot. Maybe it's because, you know, when you're a talk show host, you care. You don't have to be a talk show host to care passionately about the First Amendment and about free expression in this country. It is one of the major keys to holding on to our liberty in this country. Never thought I'd say that it was under attack, but it most certainly is. And here to help us to discuss this further is a seasoned economic policy expert, author, president, and founder of the Market Institute, Charles Sauer, joins us now on Spouting Off on 1590 AM WSMN. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Sauer.
Thanks for having me on.
Great. So first, let's talk about, you know, this phenomena that nobody ever thought of before. I mean, some of the guests that I've had before talk about it. It's called the technocracy, that tech, big tech, is not just providing people a platform and a forum, but they're deciding who gets to say what and who gets to be censored. This is an anathema and was to the left as well. Talk about this issue, and we'll just dive right into it.
Well, I guess I might have a slightly different take than that. I mean, they have provided a platform. They do provide us a place to express our opinions, but it is a private business. And as it's a private business, I do think that they do get to control what goes onto their platforms. What I am concerned about and what concerns me is the idea that the government is going to come in and tell them what they can have on their platform. And I think that we can look back at even just the statements that the left has made, and that it is likely that the left is pushing these companies and using their seat in government to apply pressure to the private companies for what is on the platform. And I personally think that is what's scary. And there's people on the right that have stood up and they want to pass bills to go after these companies. I don't think that that's the right thing, because more government is never the answer. But I do think that it would be interesting to look at the communications that have come from either the Biden administration, maybe even the Trump administration, but to look in and see what kind of pressure is being put on these companies by public officials.
Yeah, we don't disagree at all, Charles. We're talking to Charles Sauer here, policy expert and author of the Market Institute. What I have referred to, and this is just a phenomenon we never thought we'd see, is the government using huge businesses as their proxy to strong arm individual citizens. We saw this with, for example, Walmart during COVID. They kept them open because Walmart was willing to pipe in propaganda through their speakers and put little footsies on the floor to tell you where to walk. But they closed down all the private, tiny little small mom and pop businesses because they couldn't control them. So when you get Woke-a-Cola and you get State Farm and all of these woke companies, I think we're in a new era in which, well, I don't, we're in a new era. I'd love for you to speak to that and tell me, you know, where am I wrong?
Well, I kind of agree and I disagree. So I think that there's several ways we need to look at this. I think that in the end, you and I agree on this issue, but I think that we need to split it up so that we talk about it correctly. So I think that there is a fight on the right about wokeness and culture and what a woke economy means. And then I think that there's also government And as we said when we were talking about tech, the left coming in and telling these companies what they're going to do. I don't think that that is a woke culture. I don't think that that is a woke economy. I think that that is just a mean bully government, which is what government is, pushing these private companies around. On the other hand, if you look at what we push on the right or what libertarians push for an economy, what we have been calling for all along is a woke economy. We've been pushing for, if a company is polluting, that the government doesn't necessarily need to come in and regulate them, that the people themselves, the market, would regulate them. And that would be considered a woke economy. And
we're going to use a different word. An enlightened economy, a liberty economy, but a woke economy is usually synonymous with lefty ideas. But that's, I don't know, that's beside the point.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that that's why it's important to separate these out. I mean, I have a URL. There's nothing on it currently, but it's Cancelnomics, of the idea that what been pushing for is a small government where the people cancel these companies. Now, what happens is this is one of the first times that as society has stood up and pushed this. And I think that what is interesting is that it's the left doing it. So honestly, I think that we should adopt the term woke. We should show the left that what they're doing works, and we should use that to push for smaller government. I think it's really an important time. It's the same thing when COVID hit, government rolled back regulations on healthcare. They rolled back regulations all over the place that the right has been pushing
for. Oh my goodness. They only replaced them with strong arm tactics from unelected bureaucrats like Anthony Fauci. They can say they rolled them back, but then again, I know I'm going down a different road here. I mean, I just think we need to be ahead of the game here, because we may be playing by the rules that happened 20 years ago, and they've got a whole new playbook, and they're playing out of a book that says, if you don't go along, it's mobster tactics. You don't go along, we're going to cancel you. You don't Coca-Cola teach your employees, you know, that you got to be less white, then we're going to come after you for some totally other thing. Your turn.
I think that that's several things wrapped into one. The Coca-Cola thing is the private market. That wasn't the government coming in. And again, when you're new into a system, when you look at a graph, when you look at a market that starts up, they end up charging too less, and then they charge too much, and then they charge too less again. And eventually you reach your equilibrium point. Well, we're in one of the first two iterations of what a woke culture looks like. So it ends up overreacting and going too far. But in the end, the reason that you push for less government isn't so that businesses can pollute more. It's just that you understand that people are better at regulating that, and we don't need government to come in and slow business decisions down. And if we look at healthcare, it is a different issue, but the Democrats and the left like using a shotgun approach or a starfish approach, where if we get distracted by one thing like Anthony Fauci and we just look at what's going on with him, then we miss the fact that they rolled back licensing so doctors could practice across state lines. We miss the fact that they rolled back certificate of need laws. We miss the fact that they opened up telehealth so that doctors across the country could do it without fearing lawsuits. Now, those are the things that are important that made more put through for our healthcare system, and not only allowed us better healthcare in COVID, but it will allow us better healthcare in the future and would have allowed better healthcare in the past.
I love the dissent. I love the debate. Well, I agree with you. Smaller government, absolutely 100%. But if they're going to roll back certain regulations so they can fully and completely transform the healthcare system, and only allow certain drugs to be used, not allow physicians to practice independently as experts in their field, and told that, did you know that in California, they are going to outlaw the use of ivermectin? You're not allowed to use it because we said no. And it doesn't matter. It does matter why, but they're only replacing a baseball bat with a machine gun, I think, in the case that you give. Again, where am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I would love a mansion on the beach in Florida, but right now I would take a 5-bedroom house in a better area of my city, right? We have to look at what these short-term battles look like. We would like to just move towards where we want to go. And yes, we want to get government out of everything, but we need to embrace and show how the government moving out of something or anything made healthcare better. And not only did it make healthcare better, but when push came to shove and they needed healthcare to work better, what did they do? Did they go for more government or did they go for less?
Healthcare is better now when they put, forgive me for being such a sourpuss, but you're touching on one of the issues, and maybe we're getting off the subject, on one of the issues about which I am passionate, and that's a lot. When I don't think healthcare is better when you have a central planner and a bunch of people telling everyone how they're going to treat something, and they lock down an entire country. It's kind of like saying, boy, we had a win here on the Titanic. The Titanic is sinking, and we're all going to die, but you know what? I'm happy we had this little win. I think that there are motives and reasons why you're seeing certain things rolled back. And we got to get ahead of that game, not behind it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We need to look at where things happened and not get caught up. We already had, before COVID, we already had a government where a central planner could come in. Look, that didn't happen under Obama. It didn't happen under Biden. That happened under President Trump. So that was already in place. Well,
What kind of central planning did Trump do that Biden is not doing?
Well, your point about Fauci was as a central planner, unless you consider Trump the central planner. But that was already there in our healthcare system. So if you look at the places where things are getting better in healthcare, like the Surgery Center of Oklahoma that charges 90% less than the nonprofit hospital down the street, Atlas MD that charges 90% less for drugs because they've opted out of the pharmacy benefit managers and just buy straight from the drug companies.
That's good.
I mean, the deal is, if you look at where entrepreneurship is, it's where government isn't. And we need to look at what is happening good in healthcare and not focus on the things that are currently bad, because we've been losing those arguments. But when push came to shove in COVID to get people into the healthcare system, what did the left do? They backed government out. So we can point at the central planners, but those were already in place.
Well, when they have all our records, again, I'm being negative, I know, when they know everything about us, then they can back it out. You know what I want to do? I want to back out this conversation a little bit, because we glossed over this, and I love conversations like this. I mean, I would always rather have someone that I somewhat disagree with, and we can have a back and forth, because these are the kind of things that happen in people's living rooms all over the country. Let's back out and talk about what you mean by a woke economics in a good sense. Give us a definition of that so people know what you mean.
Well, I mean, so first off, let's not get tied up with the words. You weren't getting tied up there, but I just want to make sure for everybody listening, you and I are having a conversation. This is the way we should be able to, and we've had conversations for years, so it would be good to get it back. But by woke, I really just mean market-driven markets. So the way that it's supposed to work. So the reason why people use Facebook or Google is because they're better products. But let's just say that Snickers all of a sudden decided that it wasn't going to make a nice tasting candy bar. Well, people would stop using Snickers. And in this case, I would just consider that a woke culture that decided that they were awoken to the fact that Snickers now taste bad. And so they're going to stop buying Snickers. Now, if we apply that into what we're currently seeing, the left is using it for companies that aren't acting in ways that they deem appropriate. So if they're not teaching about, white privilege, then it's a company that's acting in a way that they don't deem appropriate. And Snickers is reacting, or in your example, Coca-Cola is reacting to that pressure. Well, somewhere between a candy bar tasting bad and the left pushing for the culture at a company, there is a right market for what an actual market pressure or demand or the incentives that are created in a market will produce. And we don't need government to necessarily regulate that. And that is what the left has proven, is that they can change the way a company acts just by applying public pressure. And so it's the same thing we talked about in healthcare, which is why I made the turn. But we need to show that what the left is doing is how we can get to small government.
Hmm. Well, you're optimistic, that's for sure. And I love that. Would it figure in, somebody I had as a guest just recently, shareholder activism, that if you don't like what a company is doing, does that fit into your kind of scenario here? If you don't like what a company is doing, you stop using them, you stop investing in them, you stop having their stocks, that kind of thing. Does that automatically follow?
It does, but there's several types of shareholder activism. So my assumption is that the one your guest was talking about is kind of the wrong type of shareholder activism. It's where union bosses or the people that control the trust funds of the retirement funds of the union actually decide to apply those in different ways that might not necessarily go along with the way that the union members themselves would go. So, it might be environmentally conscious, but as an individual,
let me clarify shareholder activism in the positive. This was a guest who said, if you don't like State Farm getting behind the LGBTQ ABC agenda, then don't invest in them. Don't use them. Understand that there are literally woke companies, and it's that old slang, go woke, go broke. That's what I meant by that, just by way of clarification.
That is the market making the decision, and that is the correct way. That's you're awoken when you're making your investments. And if you're not awake, then you're just investing in random things. The issue I was talking about is where people that manage other people's money, left has wanted to open it up so that they don't have to pay attention to value.
Sorry, we have to wrap it up, and I want to give you time to tell everybody how they can find you. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people you were at ringing bells with them. So go ahead, tell us, and then we got to wrap it up.
Our podcast is Pardon My Parsing. You can find me on Twitter at Charles Sauer, S-A-U-E-R, and my website's marketinstitute.org.
Wonderful, Charles. Thanks for the spirited discussion. Love to have you back so we can continue. Take care. Well, that about does it for us here on Spouting Off. Stay tuned on Thursday for another edition of Spouting Off on Facebook and on WSMN. Stand up, stand proud, speak out. I'm out of here.